Let me read a verse of scripture, and I'll tell you up front, I'm going to do it to trap you. I'm going to sucker you in. I want you to read it with me. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Most of you could quote it probably. It's a good verse to live by. Everybody ready for it? You got it? Just a simple statement. Very simple. And he prefaced it with a little bitty word. He said, let. He's going to bring you to a place to where you're going to remember, you have to let. Let brotherly love continue. Very simple, isn't it? But if you read the next few statements, you'll find why he said this. He said, he was going to tell them something that he knew they'd have a problem with. That he knew if he could ever get them commit to letting love continue, they wouldn't stone him. Had a couple come and spend the weekend in our house. And they cried when they left. They said, we left to stay a week. We just loved you. We loved the word. We loved you. We just loved you. 1 week later, I got a telephone call from the people who loved me. And they forgot to let brotherly love continue. Sometimes we forget to let. They said, we'll come to Mississippi and bury you. The exact words. Isn't it amazing how 6 days can change people's minds? When you forget to let. I said for years, Egypt wasn't a land of sin. Egypt is a land of bondage. Egypt is Christianity. I remember you said you let. He said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. What do you suppose he said that? Now, I'm not going to be what's the right word? I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know. I'm not going to be foolish enough to think that I'm going to tell you anything that you don't already know. But I'm going to be smart enough to open your understanding to stir up your pure mind and something you already know. I heard Gary say like that, we know all things. We forgot. So when he said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, what he was literally saying was, there's a messenger or message or word that's coming to your house that you've never met before. You hear me now? Are you ready for the stranger?
Yes.
My God, I am.
I am too.
Yes.
That's good.
That's really good.
He said, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Well, you know this. An angel is not a winged creature. an angel is a message. Sometimes it's a messenger with a message. But the stranger you're going to meet has met a message or a messenger, and they're coming to your house. Are you ready for it? I am. So let. It's going to be the hardest thing in the world for Christianity to let go of the him and become the I am. You see, for 2,000 years, it's always been about him. 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 He. He. It's always about somebody else. And thank God for he. Thank God for him. But this ain't about a he or a him. This is about I am. And it's going to be hard for Christianity to let that go. It really is. Because we're creatures of habit. And it's like Gary said last night, what you perceive is what you become. I had a dream about a week ago. And I was in a deep sleep. And when I woke, I remembered that God would put people in a deep sleep. He put Abraham in a deep sleep to show him things that he couldn't see until he went to sleep. And the word sleep and the word death are synonymous. You know that. Abraham literally died in order to see. And if you remember, he had just met Melchizedek. God, I feel this now. You see, Abraham had a promise, had a revelation, had a word from God, but no proof of it. You might as well. Remember, you said you let. See, your revelation is good as mine. If that's all it is. I don't mean nothing. Show me the proof of it. Give me the evidence. I'm not hard. I mean, this just, this Walter Cronkite guy says, that's the way it is. But Melchizedek came from nowhere. And you probably have a dozen interpretations who he is. It don't matter. Whoever he was, whatever he was, he had a substance that would bring a fruition to Abraham's revelation. He brings substance to it. He had a bread and wine. Very simple. That would bring substance to Abraham's vision, word, and revelation. Did he not? That was in chapter 14. In chapter 15, immediately Abraham reverts again back. Fearful, unafraid. He said, don't be afraid, Abraham. And then God put him to sleep. Read it, you have. Then that deep sleep that God brought some understanding to him. How long did he sleep? I don't have a clue. How long did he lay dead? I don't know. And so here, in the deep sleep I was in, I had a dream. Strange. As in a motel meeting room with some brethren that I knew. And standing in the pulpit was a very uncouth man. He had on a biker's shirt, sleeveless shirt, open down the front, chest open, cut off jeans, sandals, and he's in the pulpit. And I'm looking. I'm disturbed. How can that be? But then he turned and he read 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. How many times have I read that and preached that? You see, we would revert back to Galatians, I'm Abraham's seed. And yet I go to Paul in Corinthians, and if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. And I've been disturbed about that scripture for a long time. How can I be Abraham's seed? But he said, after the flesh. And it blessed my heart when I found that the word flesh and the word letter is synonymous. And a lot of places are the same thing. Well, hello. So if you're Abraham's seed, according to the letter or after the flesh. And I knew that. But here stands this strange guy telling me about if any man's in Christ Jesus or in Christ, he's a new creature. And of course, we know the word Christ means anointed. So if you are of the anointed, you're not under Moses. If you're under Moses, you're under a letter. You're not under Abraham. If you're under Abraham, you're in faith. And if you're in Abraham, you'll die in the faith, not receiving the promise. Read Hebrews 11. That's what it said. So I'm not living by the letter, and I'm not living by faith. And I know I heard that and go that way. You see, children of God, somewhere there's got to be something invade the tombs of our understanding to bring some things out of the dead. If there's not a messenger comes to our house, if a stranger don't come and bring us a message, we'll never see the fruition of our revelation. Love me now. And it's hard to let go of yesterday. It really is. It's hard to let go of what has been. I've been there. I know. I've been in this a long time. And I've been down some cradle like some of you brethren have. And while I was there, this is the greatest thing I'd ever seen. It really was. But the moment you get locked in to a belief system, you die there. Hello. You can literally get trapped in a belief system and die in it and talk about the promise and never enjoy one bit of it. You love me now? So in the dream, it disturbed me when I woke up. He made me understand what Corinthians 5 said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And then he made a statement. He said, old things pass away. It's in the anointed. It's in the consciousness that's been raised from the dead that you have an understanding that yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. That's where old things pass away. And then he said, and all things become new. Really did further. He said, and all things are of God. Somewhere we'll get a hold of the fact that the tree of knowledge and good and evil don't exist except right there. Amen. I now look, I'm going to have fun. You might well pull your shoes off and get in the habit with it because I'm going to have fun. I never knew anybody could enjoy life. And that's just my darling wife, and she can tell you. I never knew anybody could enjoy living. I literally enjoy living. And it ain't about me preaching somewhere. It's about me sharing the light that I am. Now, I don't say that again. It's not about the light that he is. It's about the light that I am. Let brotherly love continue here now. And I don't have any qualms with what you think or believe. I don't bother me. I mean, I enjoy living. I like to preach myself to death. For 40 years I did. And I knew someday I'd live. I wasn't exactly sure how it was going to come about, but I finally come to this conclusion. If he don't hurry up, it's going to be too late for me to live. I heard what he said last night about perception. Did y'all hear that? Let me tell you something. I pulled up to a traffic signal in our hometown. Some guy pulled up something in a pickup truck, and that's all I could see. And I'm sitting about feeling sorry for the poor guy. He looked like he's all twisted and broken. And he looked like he was hurting. And I'm sitting in my car feeling sorry for him. And all of a sudden the light changed and we moved. There wasn't nothing wrong with the guy. He was talking on the cell phone. That's perception. That literally, that's perception. It's what you see. But what you see is not the way it really is. I'll tell you what, if you take this book literally, you see the biggest lie that the world ever believed. If you take it literally. And see, the pastor read last night about the mystery. There's more than one mystery in this. Colossians 1, there's a mystery. That mystery is Christ in you. It's only the hope. If that's all you know, Christ in you, you don't have anything but a hope. You don't see nothing yet. Well, I mean, that's the way it is. I didn't turn this on, did I? You turn my mic on? Oh, yes, sweetheart. For what a man seeth, what did he yet hope? So if you have the understanding that Christ is in you, that's hope. That's all you have. That's good. Go to Corinthians again. If a man be in Christ, is not Christ in you now? You have the consciousness now that you are in. And it literally means you one with. You're identical with. You're one and the same. So the big guy in the biker's shirt had me bawling. I literally was crying in my sleep. And 2 days I pondered, why? What, Lord, why? What? And then he broke through my understanding. And this is what I heard and speak to my heart. And it's for me, and I'll give it to you. The messenger that's now appearing is not wrapped in the religious belief systems that we've all been tangled up in. I'm telling you, there's a stranger coming to our house. Hear what I'm telling you now. There's a message coming to your house. And that messenger ain't going to talk about him. That messenger is going to help you understand who you are. I can sing about him. And thank God for it. I'm not a Christian. But I'm going to say again, as long as it's about somebody else, I'll never know who I am nor why I'm here. Amen. I heard Brother Preston Eby a long time ago. I think he's at Brother David Skinner's church. He said, "Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here and where am I going?" Man, that's a mouthful. I heard him years ago. And about 2 years ago, I was walking along beside the lake at home, and I heard the same thing begin to resonate in my heart. Who am I? And I heard him, most people don't really know who I am. His. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Good question, isn't it? I conducted a funeral in Alabama a few months ago. And some of you heard me relate this. I didn't know the gentleman that died, but I knew the family, so they asked me to conduct the funeral. Back in the hills of Alabama, big old building back, and I mean those good Baptist brethren came by the dozens. I could care less. I don't care what you call yourself. I'll tell you what not call me. Don't call me Christian. And please don't call me Reverend. And I'll throw a shoe at you if you call me Bishop. That's my buddy. I'll tell you one thing about Gary Ziegler. If Gary Ziegler tells you he loves you, you can take it to the bank. Gary Ziegler loves you plus nothing. That's just Gary. Don't call me Reverend, please. Call me a dirty dog. I don't care. Just don't call me. Don't put none of these titles on me. Don't hang no tag around my neck. Okay? I've had them all. I've got a pedigree a mile long. I taught a Bible school. I was on the board of regents of a Bible college when I was in the organized system. And my second son was going to Bible school there. They wanted me to come and teach, but I couldn't because I didn't have my doctorate. So, since they wouldn't let me on campus to teach because I didn't have my doctorate degree, they would send the student to where I was at to be taught. Then they come up with this brainstorm. We're going to give you an honorary doctorate degree. Then you'll be doctor. I said, thanks. And it's amazing. We took the gifts of the Spirit. We took all the titles that's in the Scripture. And somewhere we conceived the idea that they made us spiritual. Y'all like that? And maybe for that day it did. I did a meeting in Texas. Baytown, Texas, just out of Houston. We'd gone 3 or 4 weeks and God was wonderfully blessing, and so they wanted to go another week. Well, okay. So they took up an offering to put an ad in the paper, so I put some money in the offering. I'm going to put an ad in the paper to announce the meeting was going to continue. I got the paper, and the headlines of the ad said, "A modern day prophet has come to Houston." I thought, hot dog, I know what I is now. I'm a modern day prophet. The only thing about it, nobody ever told me what a modern day prophet is supposed to do. I'm still having fun, y'all. Right now, I ain't time conscious. You may be, but I ain't. So the messenger is coming. I think he has come.
Amen.
I think it has come.
Amen.
Let me read two verses of scripture. What time? Let's see. Oh man, it's just 20 minutes to 12.
Let's just start here.
I ain't got started good yet. You know, we preachers, we spend years and years and years loading the wagon, and then we come in these meetings wanting you to sit there till we unload. Well, we've been 3 years loading, and we tried to unload in 30 minutes. You know. You can't do it. Revelation chapter 1. Most of you could quote that too. I don't know about you, but when I was a young preacher, I was told by my elders not to read that book. I mean, that, you know, they were looking out for me. And they said, oh, that's a bad book. That's Antichrist. He rides horses. That's what they told me. That's devil and pitchfork. And don't read that book. And I didn't. Scared to death. But every once in a while, I get brave and I take a peek. And I thought, yeah. Then the Song of Solomon, they told me that's a vulgar book. You can't read that. That's about a man and woman making love. So I didn't read it. I wanted to. I wanted to read Revelations. I really wanted to, but I keep going, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And so help me God, that's what Christianity has done to the whole church world.
Amen.
Don't do that.
Amen.
You better leave that alone. That's wildfire, that's strange doctrine. Oh, you don't want to go there, that's bad stuff. And the truth is, most of the stuff we taught for 2,000 years has been stuff. Well, ask yourself the question. My daddy had a saying, horse sense will tell you a lot of things. A little bit of horse sense would tell you, brethren, what we have tried in the past worked for a season, but that season has ended.
Amen.
That season's over. And you're not gonna make yesterday's cotton field produce cotton.
Amen.
You get them, and I was raised in the cotton fields. If you want a new crop, you're going to have to plant some different seed. Come on. I mean, we all know this. But you see here again, and I heard a brother make this statement not long ago. He said, you're almost afraid to identify with your true identity. Because it's so contrary to what we've been taught that we really were.
That's true.
And I don't mind telling, see, And you just take whatever way you want to take it. I never was a sinner the way the church said I was a sinner. I never was lost and undone without my father or his son. That's ignorance. That's total ignorance. If he's my father, don't you think my father has always known where I was? I mean, something just, when I began to get away from the letter, without being afraid. There's a lot of people like to hear truth, but they can't leave the letter alone because the letter is the biggest enemy you'll ever have in your life. Oh, hear me now. This is one. This can be a lot of things. And I said this last night. It's the serpent seed. It's lies. It's deception. It's all these things when you read it with a literal religious mindset. Let brotherly love continue now. Song of Solomon, I read it this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 2. The whole thing began with a cry from the heart. Let him kiss me. That's been the cry of my heart from the time I first read that. Let him kiss me. One translation said, let him create a burning desire in my heart by that which comes out of his mouth. And I'm going to tell you now, I don't paint after God. I don't thirst after God. I don't hunger after God. Let brotherly love continue now. I'll tell you why. I found the truth. I have rivers in my belly that'll make glad the city of God. I have bread that I can feed you that can make all your revelations find substance. Is this all right? Why? We used to think, oh, here's my cup. I fill it up. And I just think and cry. Then it dawned on me, my God, what are we talking about a cup when there's rivers in my belly? Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? Why would I cry, feed me, Jesus, feed me, Jesus? When he made me the living bread that will feed the whole world. And I don't, maybe I'm sacrilegious, but I don't get on my knees and cry and bawl and beg and plead and try to force God to do something. I said this, but I'll repeat it last night. John 17. Father. Father. See, this is probably going to be the last time I get the chance to unload. And I've been 40 years loading up, so y'all bear with me, okay? I heard this, I'll share it with you. How many know that if we can understand the stars, we can understand who we are? I mean, believe that the zodiac is God's calendar. And I know you don't believe that just those natural stars, but you are the stars that is God's zodiac that he put right here to bring an understanding to everything that's around it. And you see, if you don't understand you, nobody else will. Is this all right? If you don't really understand you and know who you are, you'll talk about somebody else and try to get them to know who they are. And I say again, it's not about knowing somebody else. It's about knowing who you are and why you're here. So I went to this funeral in Alabama. And they did their singing and their crying and all these things. And I just greeted folks. And I said, and the casket was right there. And I said, I have a question for you. And I can say that because I didn't know him. I said, if you could put that man in heaven, which one would you put him in? Holy moly. Ain't nobody crying now. I said, would you put him in the one that's on fire and holler, burn, baby, burn? Because the scripture says there's a heaven that's on fire. It does. I said, would you put him in the one that's rolled up like a scroll and watch him be squeezed? Or would you put him in the one that's going to fade away with the earth? I said, now, ask yourself the question, if you could put him in the heaven, which one would you put him in? Obviously, they didn't know. You see, heaven is a myth, the way it's been taught. Of course it is. I said, flip the coin over. If you could put him in hell, which one would you put him in? Would you put him in the one where you make your bed in hell? I said, that hell is a good place to be, because the bed speaks of a place you go to sleep when you rest a while. So if you're going to put him in that hell, if you're going to put him in hell, put him where he can rest a little while. But then they thought I'd lost my mind. Before I got through, they'd think they'd lost theirs. But you see, there's got to be something to shatter the myth, the half-truth, the part-truth, the no-truth that's been presented by the scripture. Now, I didn't plan this, so if you want to blame somebody, blame him. No. I'm feeling my way through. I feel... Somebody told me one time, said, Ray, you run rabbit trails. But there's one thing about it, you always get the rabbit. I said, as long as I get the rabbit, let's go. I read this quickly and let some of the brethren share. Revelation chapter 1, and you know it, and know it well. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Two words. Right? How many know that he wasn't born the Christ? He wasn't. It said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Then it said, why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Who was his people? But he told you who his people was. The lost tribe of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of Israel. Which was the tribe of Judah. Well, that's what it says. So his people was the house of Judah. That's why he came out of Judah. There never been nobody come out of, nothing good had ever been born in Judah. But here he was. And they said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. I mean, he tells you what to call him, and what he's going to do when he gets there. Well, he shall save his people from their sins. I mean, what their sins was. Wasn't drinking moonshine. But it wasn't. Their sin was they had departed from the Torah. I mean, he remembers that in the beginning there were only 10 commandments. But by the time the deacons and the elders and the bishops got through with it, they were 642? Man. They couldn't keep 10. What in God's world are they expecting with 642? Wasn't that their sin? Talk to me, preachers. Their sins, they had departed. And he literally said, he's going to save them. He shall save his people from their sins. Go to John chapter 1. He came to his own. His own wasn't the whole world. Can I say this? You won't stop me. You see, it's my conviction that he didn't come to save the world. He come to save Judah. Hello. Let brotherly love continue here. I know you don't like that. I didn't either. Because it busted some of my myths. Let me go back to John 17. Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. How many believe he did it? Well, if he finished the work that God gave him to do, why has Christianity for 2,000 years keep trying to do it? That brotherly love continues. Getting quiet in here now. You can't freeze me. I'm foolproof. Y'all love me, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
See, there's a stranger coming to your house. You might ought to be careful how you entertain him. He might have something to stir up your understanding that ain't never been stirred. And I'll tell you this, and you know that if something don't stir us somewhere, we've lost. I didn't come here to die in the faith. Now, Abraham did. It says they died in the faith, not receiving the promise. That's not what I come here for. Father, I finished the work. What was his work? Read next verse or two, and it'll tell you. To unveil, or to present, or to manifest, Father. I mean, that's what it says. Somebody said, oh, he came to do miracles. Well, he did, but that wasn't why he came. Oh, y'all hear me now? I'm in the book. Somebody said, he healed the sick and well. Yeah, he did that. Thank God. But that wasn't why he came. He come to unveil Father. That's why he said, me and Father. Uno. One. Now let me ask you, is there a law against me saying me and Father are one? Do you believe you have the same Father that the man Jesus had? Do you really believe that you are an heir of God? And you're a joint heir with? Oh, hear me now. We preach for years that God's no respecter of people, yet the scripture says he is. You mean to tell me that God had more preference to a man called Jesus than he does a man called Ray? I'm going to read Revelation, finish it. But you see, John 1 says, in the beginning. What beginning? Revelation said, or Genesis said the same thing. In the beginning. And Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, the Spirit moved and God said. Spirit moved, God said. John 1 says, in the beginning, God or was the Word. Word and God is the same word. Hello? So in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh. That Word made flesh was called Jesus. And that Word made flesh called Jesus would go to his own people, which was the tribe of Judah. He would go to his own. They wouldn't receive him, but as many as did. Am I still in the book? So he said, Father, I want my glory back that I had with you before I became Jesus. Now let me ask you, who were you before you became who you are? Talk to me, saints. You just said you believe God was your Father. Well, Word is God. So Word is your Father. Ephesians chapter 3, he said the whole family in heaven and earth is named after that name. What is that name? Oh, Sweet Jesus. What is your name? Well, I tell you what your name is. You see, you're afraid to identify with it because you've been called a Christian all your life and you're afraid to step out of those ranks. Look at me. Adam, who told you you was naked? John, Jane, Joel, who told you you was a sinner? Let me ask you, do you find anywhere that God ever told you that you was a sinner? Who told you that? Gary, will you get me out of this? I tell you, it's fun, and then it's a grievous thing. When it finally broke on my heart, I've been lied to all of my life by who I really am. I really am. And you see, we bought the lie, hook, line, and sinker, and then went and preached it. And we made everybody we preached to believe the lie that we believed. That's our perception. That's what we see. I did it ignorantly, and God knows we did it ignorantly. But that's it. You see, I come to do Father's will just like that first word. That Jesus was the Word made flesh. But He was God made flesh, was He not? Well, who are you? Are you God made flesh? You're going to have to argue with the book, not me. I'm telling you what the book said. If He was the firstborn among how many brethren? But you see, He wasn't the firstborn of God. The scripture says Israel was God's firstborn. So you're going to have to take some dispensation in the place here. And it just shocked me when I found out that every culture, every dispensation has had their own God-man. Jesus wasn't the first one. Saints of God, hear what I'm saying. You know, and if you don't take this thing home and fight with it. I'm telling you, if something don't happen here, we're going to miss the whole ball. We're going to miss the purpose why we come here and have to turn around and come back and do it all over again. I don't know what you're thinking when you're going when you leave here, but you might as well begin to consider some ideas. Where are you going to go if you step out of this frame? You think the ball game's over with? You better think again. Because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who are you? I'm not Jesus. I'm the Christ of God. I'm the Christ of God. Where are you going to go if you step out of this body? Well, honestly now. See, for years, my perception was, as a spirit being, having an earthly journey. That really ain't the truth either. I'm a spirit being on a spiritual mission. We're here on a mission. We're for a purpose. You ain't come here to get married and have a bunch of kids and hope you have enough money to live on when you get 65 years. That's not why you came here. You may go through those steps, but that's not your real purpose of being here. How many can remember He said, you are the light of the world? Oh, come on now. How many can remember He said, you're a city set on a hill? How many can remember Abraham looked for you, the city? Abraham literally looked for you. He said He looked for a city that had foundations, builder and maker of God. Who do you think the city he is, He looked for? Go to Revelation and watch it. It ain't about going up. It's descending. It's coming down. It's coming down. The light of the world. And I started to finish 30 minutes ago, but I get there in the next 5 minutes. I don't know what you think about the year 2012. I'll do what I think. Whatever it is, it has nothing to do with religious theory. And I think we'd be a fool to bury our head in the sand and think something catastrophic is not about to take place in our universe. And Avis and I met a lady who had been wonderfully, miraculously cured of cancer, I guess. And she wrote a book about the rapture. And she brought it up, we didn't. We listened. We she didn't give us a chance to say nothing. And she brought up 2012. She said, yeah, but I ain't gonna worry about it. I know what's gonna happen. I said, what? She said, just before the Big Bang, God's gonna take me out of here. We walked off. I mean, you can't argue. I don't know how much of a Big Bang there is that's going to take place, but this one thing I know. God sent us here on a mission. My oldest son said, we volunteered to come here, Dad, into the underworld. And I know where you like this a lot, but that's what religion is. Religion, as we have known it, is as cruel as the Chicago Mafia ever was. You see, they'll love you if you believe what they believe. If you don't believe what they believe, they'll listen to you. Then after you're gone, they'll pick you to pieces. Maybe you've had the experience, but Gary and I have both had it, where they send out emails across the nation. Leave these men alone, blah, blah, blah. And yet the very men that sent the emails at one time said, we love you, brother. I called a precious brother in New Mexico and I said, brother, after he sent out a nasty email, I said, I thought you was my brother. I've always loved you. And I sent you money and supported you as my brother. He apologized. But the fact is, the email had been gone. The seed had been already dropped in the people's hearts. And I said, I love the internet. And I probably reach more people now with the CDs like some of you brethren do than I ever hoped in my life I'd ever reach. I like you. I get calls from Pakistan, from different parts of the world, come. And of course, you know, I understand. But I said, brother, the internet was never used, never meant by God to be a murder weapon to slay your brother. But they love you when you abide. But I'm here to tell you now, that's not love. And you know that. Love will love. Love is not something you do. Love is something that you are.
Yeah.
It's just something that you are. And I don't love you if you've got green ears and purple hair and brown. That's not anything to do with love. Love is love. Love is a substance. Love is not something, I'm not saying love is not something that you do. Love is something that you are. So I've been in the rattlesnake den just like some of you have. And I gave him the roses. He's the one man that had been where I was and knew where I was and could laugh about it. Hey, you dummy, don't you know where I'm at? He laughed. He'd only been there. And you see, he helped me to understand. Brotherly love will continue in regards of what they say or don't say, do or don't do. You see, you can never be moved by the environment that you live in. It'll shake you to death. You have to be stabilized in your true identity, who you really are, and once you're there, nothing can move you.
Amen.
So now you can love me or go home and talk about me. And just as sure as you talk about me, Father will send me back here again. Have you ever seen somebody and you knew you'd seen them before, but you hadn't? You might want to think about that. Here it is. A revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him. Let me ask you, who got the revelation? I just read it. Jesus Christ got a revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. Somebody said, oh, John the Revelator. No. Read it. And he sent and signified it by an angel. Well, am I reading it right? He sent and signified by his angel unto his servant. If you read that, what it says, Jesus Christ had a revelation and the spirit of truth brought it to John. Because the angel is the spirit of truth. It is. Jesus Christ. Now Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10, you know it well. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Paul said, God made him both Lord and, say it with me, Christ. He wasn't born Christ. He was born Jesus and God made him. God made you. God made you. Can we hear this? After I become Ray Basil, God made me by allowing the spirit of truth to come to me. That's the way God makes you, is by sending the spirit of truth to you to help you understand who you really are. Now, hey, there ain't no quitting here. Somebody hear me. You see, the wrestling is against the anointed, not against Jesus. Psalms chapter 1, it said, the kings of the earth set themselves against the anointed. Read this, what it says. Go to Acts chapter 10 or chapter 4, and it says the same thing. Only this time it says against the Christ. So the word Christ and the word anointed is one and the same word. Not Jesus. That's why it says a revelation of Jesus Christ. It was a revelation of Jesus and the anointed. Hello? So it was a revelation of Jesus and you. It was a revelation. God gave Jesus Christ a revelation of Jesus Christ, or Jesus and you. Maybe the middle, I ain't saying that right. If you understand, it's a revelation about you and not just Jesus. So when you read the book of Revelation, you're reading the book about you. Oh, hear me now, it is. Everything in there is about you. Somebody said, you mean the Antichrist? Who you think you were before you become who you are? How many know religion is Antichrist? Yeah. It don't matter, you can call them kingdom, sonship, penny, it don't matter what you call it. As long as you're trapped in the religious system, yeah, it's anti. And some people get so buried in it, they'll die in it, thinking Oh boy, I got it made. But you see, I'll tell you something else real quick because it would finish here. Resurrection is not about you coming out of a hole in the ground somewhere. Well, it's still 10 minutes out of 12. I've still got 45 minutes. I'm having fun. I'm so glad that brother let me come here. He might not let me come again, but he did one time. What a glorious liberty God brought my heart to. When I understand this is not about somebody else. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. And I don't know all of there is to know about me yet. But I'm getting in a hurry now. I've been resurrected from among the dead more times than I can count. How many know what resurrection is? And that's not a fair question for me to answer you, but somebody said, it's been raised out of the dead. What's dead? Letter. If the anointing doesn't raise you out of the letter, you'll die with it. Because the letter ain't nothing but death. And you see, Paul said that God made you able ministers, not of this. Didn't he? But of the Spirit. So because you are the anointed, you can take this and get the life out of it. The alabaster box, how long did she have it? We don't know. And it was filled with precious ointment. It did nobody any good until the box was broken. When you break the box, when you break the covering, when you get through, when you finally go through the flesh man Jesus and see the Christ of God. Am I saying this right? When you finally get through Jesus and see the Christ, you won't be seeing Him, you'll be seeing the I Am. Amen. Amen. Somebody throw me a rope so I can get out of here. I'm over my head. Do you have a question? Ask the pastor. He had all the answers. Bless you.
Bless God. Bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. I say just I can't.